We're joined now for a GW Micro Perspective, which not only talks about WindowEyes and how it works with Millennium, but also does offer some light at the end of the tunnel for those people who are worried about the loss of the switches equals C parameter, and that will apply to users of all DOS screen readers. So to tell us more about all of these things, we're joined by Aaron Smith of GW Micro, the people who bring you WindowEyes. Aaron, I guess the exciting thing about Millennium is really that this is the first time that I can recall that a brand new operating system in the Windows era has come out, and those who are keeping up to date with their screen readers will be able to jump straight in and try it. And that's pretty significant, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like I told you earlier, we started with the very first beta of Millennium when it first came out, and we had WindowEyes working with it that day. The day we got the beta, we got it installed, we had WindowEyes working with it. And since then, each progressive beta, we've made sure that WindowEyes does stay working with it. And so it's nice to already have a product that is able to work with a new operating system as soon as it comes out.
So how long have you been working on this for? When did the first beta of Millennium actually come out?
I believe it was either close towards the end of last year or early this year. They did a number of private betas with their own beta testers, and then they did, some other betas where other people could have access to them. But we've been running it for quite some time.
Would you say that this has been an easier thing to achieve than, say, access to 95 or 98 was? And if it has been easier, is that because Microsoft is now more aware of their need to talk to screen reader vendors, or is it just that the upgrade between 98 to Millennium really isn't that significant in terms of the technology, the underlying technology that's being used?
Well, I think it's a number of different things. First of all, we already have the technology of working with 95 and 98, and so and it is true that Millennium isn't that significantly different than 98. They try to make it a bridge between 98 and 2000, but it's much more like 98 than it is anything else. So we already had the technology to be able to work with 95 and 98. It was just a matter of tweaking it enough to get it to work with Millennium. I think that it also helps that Microsoft has become much more aware of what we're trying to do, and they've worked with us in a number of different areas, and they've worked with us with Millennium as well. We tried to get some certain things accomplished, and we did get some certain things accomplished to make things work how we thought they should work for our users. So I think it's a combination of a number of different things, but I think most notably it's just the fact that we already had the resources available, and so since the operating system is not that different from 98, we were able to just jump right in and get it working.
Are there any technologies in Millennium that make your life as a screen reader developer easier? I mean, are there changes to MSAA or anything like that that are significant?
They do use, I think, I believe it's the next version of MSA they do have included. Basically, it's just different language support rather than anything else. There isn't really anything that's usually significantly different from 98 that makes accessibility much better. They do have more accessibility options built into it for people who are low vision and some different things like that, so that's always helpful. There wasn't really anything significant that we were able to take advantage of. It was basically just a souped-up version of 98, so we're still using all the technology from 98. We've just ported it over to the Millennium side.
I wonder why it is that Microsoft did not opt to introduce their narrator into Windows Millennium that's now already there in Windows 2000.
Yeah, there's all kinds of questions about why Microsoft didn't do this and did do this. And we think a lot of their calls are not the wisest, but at the same time they have their reasons, and when they explain them it does make sense. There are a number of different things that we wish were in Millennium that aren't, particularly the real mode DOS support that definitely makes it difficult for Vocalize users or DOS screen reader users to try to run their DOS screen reader applications under a DOS box. So that makes it more difficult. But at the same time, you know, they're trying to move ahead. They're trying to make technology better for us. Sometimes frustrating because synthesizer driver manufacturers are a little bit behind the times, and that makes it more difficult as well. So yeah, there are a number of questions as to why Microsoft did this and why they did that, and all we can do is just put in our suggestions for the next version.
Let's talk a bit about this real mode DOS support, because it's something that's concerning people a lot, particularly those people with speech synthesizers that depend on DOS drivers. Is the issue that Windows Millennium doesn't recognize autoexec.bat and config.sys, or is it a slightly different issue?
It is exactly that. Windows Millennium does not use a config.sys or an autoexec.bat. If you create them from scratch and try to get them to load, Millennium will just ignore them when it boots. So that's definitely a frustration. All is not lost. You can still use DOS screen reader under Millennium. What you have to do is you have to load the drivers for your synthesizer, the drivers for your DOS screen reader, if there are any, every time you go into a DOS box. And for synthesizers like the Speakout, that's going to be fairly simple because it doesn't take long to load Speakout drivers, and, you know, 2-5 seconds after you run the DOS box, you're already up and running. If you're using a desktop board, a PC board, it's a bit harder because it takes 10 to 15 seconds for the deck drivers to even load up. So that means every time you run a DOS box, you have to sit and wait for the prompt to even come up. And then as soon as you exit the DOS prompt, all of those drivers are unloaded. So it does cause some frustration. There are some synthesizers that simply aren't going to work. There are other synthesizers that will work but take a bit more configuration. Excuse me. So it can be frustrating. There are workarounds, but the same thing is going to happen for Windows 2000. I mean, Real Mode DOS is gone from Windows 2000 as well, so we just have to try to find ways around it. Whether those be good ways or bad ways right now, the point is to just get access.
We had a user on earlier who has beta tested Windows Millennium, and he's not a screen reader vendor or anything. He's just one of the private beta testers that got on the list. And he made the comment that he has put the numlock equals off line in config.sys, and that as far as he can tell, when he boots up, the numlock is in fact off, which implied to him that maybe there was some config.sys support. What's the answer to that?
Yeah, I mean, there really is no config.sys support. There is no autoexec support. I mean, it just doesn't exist. Now, there is an application, the same thing that's in 98, MS Config. That's also included with Windows Millennium. There is a place where you can set environment variables, and numlock equals off is an environment variable, and you could add that, and that would work fine. But I'm not really sure how you put it in the config.sys, because it just doesn't work. We have tried so many ways to work around being able to do that. It's just not possible.
And Microsoft has confirmed to you then that there is definitely, intentionally, no autoexec.bat and config.sys.
That is correct. We talked with Microsoft for a number of weeks regarding the switches equals /C, which is a popular entry in the config.sys to get the most DOS screen readers to work correctly. When we first started the beta process, they indicated to us that they were going to include something that allowed that to work. But in the end, they didn't, and we were very frustrated about that. And so we tried a number of different ways. We asked them if there was any way we could add that, if there's any kind of entry we can put in those environment variables, if there's anything we could do, and they said, you know, we're sorry, we screwed up, we just can't do it. So, again, we had to find our own workaround. What we ended up doing was writing our own program, which is available on our website, that sets the switches equals /C automatically. And that's another program you would run every time you ran a DOS box. So, yeah, I mean, we worked with Microsoft. We were frustrated with Microsoft. In the end, we just did it ourselves because that's how we get things done.
No, obviously you've done that so that Vocalize users are not left out in the cold, but presumably anybody who is using a DOS screen reader of any kind could take advantage of that software.
Absolutely, absolutely. Any DOS screen reader that requires the switches equals /C entered in the config.sys, they can go to our website on our support page, download our switchc.com is the name of the file. They can download that, run it every time they run a DOS box, and that should help their screen reader out tremendously.
I can sort of get my head around the idea that you can make some of these drivers load in a DOS box that might be executable, but if you're using, let's say, an Accent, for instance, which has a .sys driver that used to go in config.sys, can you use something like that?
Unfortunately not. I mean, if it uses a .sys driver currently, there's no way to do it. That's why it's a little frustrating that the synthesizer manufacturers aren't keeping up with the latest operating systems. We really would like it if they got out there and did a bit more developing and got some drivers that would work with Millennium. But yeah, if it takes a .sys file, something that's loaded in the config.sys, that synthesizer isn't going to work.
Because you guys have always gone and written proprietary drivers, you have SSIL support, but also your own proprietary drivers for a lot of synthesizers. Is there any way that in the future you might be able to deal with this issue?
It's difficult for us to deal with issues of the synthesizer actually loading when the machine starts. For instance, there's the new TripleTalk, the PCI card that's out, currently doesn't work under Millennium, but it will work under Millennium. They're going to develop their own drivers, and we're going to support those drivers. But it's difficult for us to release our own drivers for a card that we don't support and we don't manufacture. So we really rely on the card manufacturers to come up with the latest drivers, with drivers that'll work.
Section 1.8 of your existing WindowEyes manual has a whole lot of steps that you should take in order to make sure that Windows is optimized for WindowEyes. Are all the steps the same for Millennium, or are there slightly different steps that you will publish?
They are slightly different. We are actually rewriting the WindowEyes 4.0 manual. I do have Section 1.9. If anyone needs it, they can contact me privately. We'll be happy to send that out to them. When 4.0 is released, those steps will be in the manual. It's actually Section 1.9. They're very similar to 98 in terms of turning off animated menus and lists and things like that, turning off the active desktop, making sure that your folders are set to list view, and that a lot of the internet web page stuff that they have integrated is turned off. They're similar but different enough that they require a different section. But if someone does need those, they can contact us, and we will get them to them before 4.0 is released.
People will need, though, to be running the latest public beta, will they, in order to use Millennium? You can't use Millennium with WindowEyes 3.1.
That's correct. You will need the latest beta, the current one being 4.0 at this time. We hope to have another public beta out before the final release. We're shooting for the middle of October for the actual final release, and we're pretty much on schedule right now. But yes, you will need the latest beta in order to use Windows Millennium.
What happens if you try and use it with 3.1?
With 3.1, you'll get a number of cannot create hook messages. A lot of people say, well, if I just hit enter, I can bypass those, and it comes up talking. That's fine, but it's not going to talk everywhere. It's going to cause some problems here and there. So the actual software will load, but it's not going to produce the desired results.
From a user's point of view, then, can we talk a little bit about why people should bother? Well, if indeed you think they should bother to upgrade to Millennium, I'm sure you'll have some ideas. But the first question I had to ask you was that in the product literature, there seems to be a lot of talk about a new help system that's supposed to be more interactive, more comprehensive, get everything from the one place. I just wonder how accessible that is.
Right now, the help system is not very accessible, something that we're definitely going to look at before the 4.0 release. We may not get it completely finished before the 4.0 release. It might be something post 4.0, but it is something that we are going to take a look at. It is very, very much requires a lot of user input in terms of selecting the topics you want, answering questions in terms of did this solve your problem, so on and so forth. The help system itself is vastly different from the one from 98, and personally, I don't particularly care for it, but I didn't really have a say in it. So it's something that we definitely have to get working. Right now, it's not that accessible, but it will be.
So from what you're describing, it sounds like a major expansion of those troubleshooting wizards that you can find sometimes in Windows as it is currently. And I must say, I found them quite annoying in the past because they keep taking you down tracks that you get frustrated with. Is that how Millennium is structured?
It really is. It's like a big troubleshooting wizard. You come in and you have the option of searching for different topics and so on and so forth, looking through an index. But basically, it's just a matter of answering questions. You know, did you try this? Did it solve the problem? And depending upon your answers, it will go to a different section of the help, and they'll try to get your problem solved.
Hmm. Anything else of significance in Windows Millennium that you think commends it?
Well, we're telling people right now when our users call us, excuse me, and ask us, you know, should I upgrade to Millennium? Should I stick with 98? Right now, there isn't anything in Windows Millennium that is so different from 98 that you need to upgrade to this operating system. It is stable. It is very fast. And that's one of my personal favorites about it. It is a very fast operating system. But there's nothing in it that you can't get in 98. For instance, it came with Media Player 7. You can download that for 98. It came with Internet Explorer 5.5. You can get that for 98. pretty much all of the enhancements that Windows Millennium has, you can get for 98. So it's not such a different operating system that that you're going to find things that aren't available anywhere else. So if what we recommend is that the people are happy with 98, if they're satisfied, if their machine is stable and they're not having problems, we recommend that you just stick with 98. Microsoft is still releasing updates for 98. It's still a very good operating system. But on the other side, if you're a techie, if you like playing around, if you want to have the latest, greatest, then you're more than welcome to. I mean, we have a product that supports it, and Microsoft is also will be releasing updates for Millennium as well. So it's really, it comes down to personal preference, but right now, I think our favorite is still 98.
One of the things that it looks might make tech support people quite happy, though, is this ability built into the operating system to save system restore points and then go back to a previous state of your system, which is something that people have had to buy externally with programs like CleanSweep and the like. That must be a good addition.
It is definitely a plus. It all depends on how you view your whole computing experience. I think there's some give and take. A lot of people would like that, but at the same time, there are a lot of things in Windows Millennium that a lot of technical people don't like. It's difficult to find things. It's difficult to tweak like you could tweak 98. It is more geared toward the new user, so that there aren't a lot of things that you can screw up. If you do screw them up, it is nice to have this system restore where you can go back to a previous version and not have to reinstall your entire operating system.
It's interesting you say that it's more difficult to tweak, because one of the things that made me personally think, you know, uh-oh, when I had a look at the literature, was this comment that your system files are safe and you can't accidentally or inadvertently delete files and things. And, you know, while that might be nice when you have a program, usually a Microsoft one, I hasten to add, that puts an old version on top of a newer version of a DLL file or something, are they somehow making access to some of these registry files and .ini files more difficult than before?
One of the things they have is a system file integrity checker. What it does is it actually goes through and looks at all of your system files and verifies that they've been signed by Microsoft, that they are in fact the original files, or at least the files that you need. And if they are, then you're fine. You can do a system backup. You'll have all those files and so on and so forth. They will notify you if something did get changed. So that is a nice little feature in terms of that you can verify, you know, whether those system files are actually the right system files or not. So that is a plus.
You mentioned the speed. I just wonder whether the fast boot process that they are hyping up quite a bit, apparently it takes a lot shorter time to make the computer go from power up. Is that something that you have to have specific hardware to really take advantage of, like a newer BIOS or something like that?
To my knowledge, you don't. What I did, I recently installed 98 on another hard drive, and compared the boot times to a fresh 98 with nothing installed but just the operating system, and then Windows Millennium, which I currently have loaded down with all kinds of stuff, and the boot time was about the same. Whereas if I would install all this stuff on Windows 98, it would take much longer to boot. But to my knowledge, there's no specific hardware. I'm simply running a Pentium 2 333, just with your standard sound card, your standard video card. I've got nothing special on my machine that helps increase the speed. I do run 128 mega RAM. But that's it. It's a very standard machine, so I don't believe that there's any significant or special hardware you have to have in order to experience the speed increase.
Windows Media Player, as you mentioned, is bundled with Millennium, although you can go and pick that up off the web. That's a very powerful utility with CD ripping functions and all sorts of things built in there, but it seems to me a slightly unorthodox interface. Are you going to be working on set files to cope with that program?
We will be working on set files. We'll also be working on WindowEyes itself to recognize some different controls inside Media Player that we don't currently recognize. This was another frustrating thing that we dealt with Microsoft with. We talked to George Allen, the head of the Accessible Department, and we said, you know, you guys said you were going to come out with new software that had, you know, accessibility options built into it, yet you're releasing this and it's got nothing. So it is, it's frustrating. You know, they're still getting their whole department worked out over there. They're still trying to get integrated with all the new software coming out. At the same time, there are still a few programs that are leaking out here and there that we still have to deal with ourselves. But it is something we are going to be working on to try to make it work better.
I mean, Microsoft's supposed to have a corporate vision of accessibility, and yet, as you say, here there are completely new packages. I mean, Windows Media Player 7 was really a complete rewrite, and they've not made it terribly easy, really.
Right. Yeah, there's, like I said, if you talk to George Allen, he's very excited about integrating more accessibility options into much more of their products. But it unfortunately, it does take some time. They've just been started for about a year or so. They have done quite a bit with the operating system in general. A lot of the Microsoft applications, getting MSAA implemented to Office 2000 was a huge step, and it's helped us a lot. And so I think it's going to take some time. I think eventually a lot of these things will have more accessibility options built into them. But it's, right now we're at that transition phase, and I think that's a little bit frustrating. Like the Microsoft Book Reader, I forget the exact name of it, that just came out, it doesn't have any accessibility options, and it doesn't read at all. And that's very frustrating when we're trying to when you have software as powerful as WindowEyes, you have an application that doesn't read, and it's frustrating. But we are working with Microsoft. We encourage them. They encourage us. And I think one of these days we will see many more accessibility options built into the majority of Microsoft applications.
People are wondering whether they may hang on to 98 for a bit longer and take the big leap to 2000. How on track is WindowEyes for its Windows 2000 support?
We're shooting for the end of the year, beginning of next year, for WindowEyes Professional. It's coming along good, I can say that. I mean, there are still some setbacks here and there. We've had to pull some of our Windows 2000 or WindowEyes Professional developers off of that project to work on 4.0 so that we can get it out in time. So there's some trade-off there. But it is coming along well. I think we should see something hopefully in the near future.
Who should wait for that 2000 support, and who should go for Millennium now, do you think?
I think it's going to depend on what you use a computer for. If you use a computer for business and you do a lot of networking, I think that Windows 2000 is probably the next step. If you're a home computer user who simply just uses a computer for home finance or for whatever reason, I think sticking with 98 or Millennium is going to be the way to go. Windows 2000 is basically the next evolution of NT. It's NT5, and NT is a very powerful operating system, but it's usually for large corporations. Who do lots of networking and things like that. And so for the standard user, I don't think Windows 2000 is an option. Whereas there are a lot of people who do work for big corporations and who need Windows 2000. That's why we're trying to get WindowEyes Professional out there.
How about, there are a lot of blind people who are self-employed, it seems to me. A lot of people who phone into ACB Radio and mention that they're working for themselves. And they may have a small home network. And they may have security issues that they have credit card information, commercially sensitive information. Would they, as a smaller self-employed people, be better to go with Millennium or 2000, do you think?
Well, 2000 certainly is an option. Again, it comes down to how much do you want to learn about a new operating system? Is it worth your time? So on and so forth. Do you have materials that are sensitive enough where you do need better protection, better security? Windows 2000 definitely is a viable option. Microsoft has already released a number of patches for 2000 that make it even more secure. But if you just if it's just something that you have your small network of computers and you have some information on that, but it's not as sensitive, I think sticking with 98 or Millennium is going to be easier and going to be less time consuming.
So how different is it actually if you've become a competent 98 or Millennium user, and then you have to use 2000 or you choose to use it? Are you going to notice significant differences?
I think you're going to notice some differences. I mean, really what Microsoft has tried to do with all of their operating systems is keep the interface similar. In Windows 2000, you're still going to have a desktop, you're still going to have a start menu, a taskbar, a system tray, so on and so forth. The Windows keys will still be the same. For existence, Control Escape will still bring up the start menu, so on and so forth. So the interface is very much the same. There are going to be different tools and stuff. A lot of people who get into, tweaking their system, making sure that it's running top-notch, they're going to find things different that way. On the surface, they look very similar. It's the guts of both of the operating systems that differ greatly.
I understand that Microsoft has done its best to make networking under Millennium a little bit easier to set up with the home network user in mind, and they take you through a sort of wizard procedure that detects computers and things.
Yes, that's correct. The network neighborhood has actually been renamed in Millennium to My Network Places. There is a home networking wizard that takes you through setting up resources like file sharing, printer sharing, internet connection. You can share an internet connection among computers if you have your own computer network set up at home. It's pretty easy to just run through the wizard. I think they have made it easier for people who are new at this to get in, get their computers networked, and get on the internet.
I guess that you've been using it in an environment where you've got a reasonably high-speed connection to the net, but I noticed in their product literature that they talk about a brand new version of TCP/IP that they've put into Windows Millennium, which is supposed to be a little bit more secure and a bit faster. Are you aware of any real speed increases that the user would notice, let's say, who was using a 56K modem?
Being that I've been on a direct connection ever since we started playing with it, I don't know that I can really answer how much the speed increase is going to be for someone who's using a modem. I personally didn't experience any kind of noticeable speed increase going from 98 to Millennium. It's pretty much the same for me. But it could be that I have a faster connection than what a modem would have.
So the trick is that if people are running WindowEyes 4.0 Beta 3 or a beta that comes out after that, and they can have access to the features that they need to set to make it work correctly, then they really, you know, if they want to take the plunge, there's no reason why not.
Absolutely. Actually, Beta 4 is the latest beta out right now, so that's the one I want to grab. But absolutely, yeah. I mean, if it's something that you want to try, I mean, you're certainly not going to install this operating system and just, you know, fall on the floor because you just can't take it. I mean, it is very much like 98. It has been very stable so far. There haven't been any more or any less crashes than 98 has by itself. So I say, yeah, if you've got the resources, I say go ahead and give it a try. If you're comfortable with where you're at, then I say go ahead and stay where you're at.
That's Aaron Smith of GW Micro. And a reminder that irrespective of whether you use GW Micro products, if you have a DOS screen reader, and you want that switches=C fix so that your DOS screen reader will work okay in DOS boxes, pop along to www.gwmicro.com and visit the support pages.